Breaking news today on Seculo as U.S. senators call on John Kerry to resign.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live.
Madam President, I rise today on the Senate floor to call for the resignation of John Kerry as a member of the Biden administration's National Security Council.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Now, Madam President, I don't do this lightly, but his record, John Kerry's record of undermining working families and working against American national security interests is too much to bear. He needs to go.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are taking your phone calls as the pressure on John Kerry continues. Now, pressure twofold. One, investigating this leaked audio because there is a problem. No one knows if the foreign minister Zarif is referring to a conversation he had with John Kerry when he was Secretary of State, or is it during the Trump administration when he was former Secretary of State? The legal implications there, the differences, of course, that would be sharing this information about Israeli strikes and ally strikes within Syria, which is an enemy of the United States. So you've got that. You also have calls from U.S. senators. You just heard, we played it for you. That was Dan Sullivan, senator from Alaska, on the Senate floor yesterday calling for the resignation of John Kerry. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, she has called. She says it deserves an investigation. If it's accurate, John Kerry should consider resignation. Ted Cruz called it catastrophic and disqualifying recklessness. Even Mitt Romney saying it's very troubling and there needs to be full transparency and accounting of what occurred. Rick Scott, with an interesting point, too, is that Biden should revoke Kerry's access to classified info while the matter is looked into.
Yeah, so here's what you got. This is not just a situation because when people think of John Kerry now, they think of him as the climate czar, you know, working on the climate issues. The fact of the matter is he serves on the National Security Council. That is the most sensitive national security information. Now, as we pointed out on the broadcast yesterday, this raises a serious issue, a serious legal issue and a serious geopolitical issue. Giving information to the Iranians about operations that the Israelis are engaged in serves only one purpose that I can think of, and that one purpose is he's trying to gain some kind of favor with Zarif while basically backstabbing our ally. Now, what's interesting here is he also has access to classified information. And Wes Smith, Colonel retired United States Army, handled classified information as well. And you cannot give out classified information to foreign government, usually absent the President of the United States authorizing.
Yeah, the President is the only one who can, on the spot, declassify information. He has that right. No one else does. And you look at this, really revealing classified info about an ally is a horrible thing to begin with. He's trying to do that. And you have to ask, was this an Obama initiative designed to win over the Iranians by spilling the beans on Israel? Or was John Kerry freelancing and going rogue on what he had been told in a classified briefing? Jay, either one of those is alarming and dangerous.
Fan, there's already been reaction in watching. I mean, Jordan read the list. Rick Scott, as Jordan said, made the statement that Biden should revoke Kerry's access to classified information while the matter is looked into. Others have said this is taking on a life of its own now.
Yeah, strong and swift reaction, Jay. I mean, I think removal of classified information is probably the minimum. I like this quote from Elise Stefanik. She said, "It's a criminal act, and John Kerry must be immediately investigated and prosecuted." And get this, Jay, President Biden must immediately remove John Kerry from any government or advisory position. Look, given what we know about how chummy he was when he was not a federal official, I agree with her. He ought to be gone.
Well, I'll tell you this. We've got a lawsuit that's already... a FOIA request that's out that deals with all of this, which is going to end up in a lawsuit, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. John Kerry again at the center. And I think, you know, as this comes on the heels of Biden's speech tomorrow night, it's I think an absent president allows for this kind of action, too, when you have these actors moving around the world on your behalf and keep empowering them like you have with John Kerry. Support our work, Matching Challenge, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And the next segment of the broadcast will be joined live by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. He's had a lot to say about this. He tweeted this morning that Secretary Kerry, can you please explain to the American people why you disclosed information about Israeli operations to the Iranian foreign minister? We've known for years you were helping him. America deserves to know why. John Kerry, by the way, but out of a denial on this leaked audio conversation with Zarif and one of his associates, he said, quote, I can tell you that this story and these allegations are unequivocally false. This never happened. But then he puts in this key line, either when I was Secretary of State or since. So he does not answer either the discrepancy in the reporting that this could have occurred while he was Secretary of State. It also could have occurred during the Trump administration. So the timing is important here, and he's trying to cover all bases with his denial. And what his the push from the left is going to be, listen, why would you trust anything the Iranians say? We don't trust Iranians. But this was by the way, he trusts the Iranians. Yeah. And second, this was not the Iranians giving a public speech. I'd say that's one thing, throwing an American under the bus. I'd question that. But they don't throw John Kerry under the bus. He's there. He's
their guy.
Important for them.
Yeah.
This was a phone call between Zarif and one of his associates.
Right.
So this is. I'm sure it's in Farsi. I think that we're not understanding the scope here. This is an Iranian propaganda trying to undermine John Kerry. This is hurting John Kerry right now as the Biden administration looks to hopefully get into the nuclear deal again with Iran.
Well, look, we have filed on Friday a lawsuit in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. It's the American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of State. In our FOIA request, we've asked for all records, I'm quoting exactly here, all records, communications, or briefings created, generated, forwarded, transmitted, sent, shared, saved, received, or reviewed by any Department of State official or employee that regard in any way John Kerry, Robert Malley, and then, of course, Zarif, or U.S. relations with Iran. So, we have asked for the documents, unredacted, so we can find out, because it's certainly not clear what was going on here. One thing is clear, is that John Kerry had a motive with the Iranians that he's had for a long time, decade, more than a decade. That was certainly counterbalanced by the Trump administration's position. But this idea that information went to the Iranians, regime, Zarif in particular, about what Israel was doing is really troubling.
Yeah, and what we do know, because Kerry is basically admitted as such, and that is he has an ongoing relationship with Zarif. They've met numerous times, including meeting while Donald Trump was president to try and preserve the JCPOA. Kerry admitted that. But what we know is he is incredibly cozy with an enemy of the United States. And even Zarif said he was surprised that Kerry would reveal this kind of sensitive information to him. And so what I find unfathomable, Jay, is that a U.S. diplomat and a former Secretary of State would leak any intelligence to the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. That is just unconscionable.
And look, this is like Jordan said, I want to play bite number 17. This is a reporter. Because this was not like some accidental thing. Take a listen.
In tapes obtained by the New York Times, Iran's foreign minister says that former Secretary of State John Kerry informed him that Israel attacked Iranian interests at least 200 times. You know, as the secretary has shifted roles, he still continues to represent the United States on a world stage. Does the president have any comment or reaction to Kerry telling the Iranians about covert military action on the part of Israel?
We're not going to comment on leaked tapes.
They're not going to comment on leaked tapes, Jordan, because they know that this is the tempest in the teapot. This is just starting. And as Stan already said, we've got senators on record, and that's in one day.
Yeah, it's kind of funny coming
and
from
we're in court, federal court on it right now.
The party that loves impeaching over phone calls.
Yeah.
That you know, this phone call is not enough to even deem a response from Jen Psaki. But listen, this is because they're all involved. Jen Psaki's involved. John Kerry's involved. They were all very close. They were working at the State Department at the time. She was at the time moving up through the ladder. So none of this is good for them. You have to understand the reason why this is front page news again today. Why is this getting so much coverage in the media, even in the mainstream media? Because anytime you deal with Iran, the world is watching carefully how the U.S. deals with Iran and setting that stage. And, of course, the Trump administration dealt with Iran very differently than the Obama administration. Now we're back to where Biden wants to go back into the deal. So what you're going to see, and I think you'll see it calculated, is as much info possible out there in the media to make the world question, including the Biden administration question, whether or not this is a good idea. And because it looks like our own actors like John Kerry have been compromised. They've been compromised. I said this yesterday. I feel like they saw John Kerry. They said, this is our guy. Let's run him, basically. We'll make him, we'll kind of say, yes, we hate America. We know you're not, you know, if it was America represented by you, it'd be different. And, come, you know, we'll always take your calls. Supposedly they have each other's cell phone number.
Yep.
In fact, we can play that. Here's Joe Biden. Do we have that yet? We don't have that audio yet. Okay.
Well, we don't know if that was his cell. We do. I think we have the audio, right? We have the audio. We don't know if it was his official cell phone or his government cell phone, but he had his number, and you go ahead and play it.
When we were in office, we had a dangerous situation. The Iranian Navy picked up and arrested and took on board American sailors. Okay? I was with John Kerry. John Kerry immediately got on his cell phone and called Zarif. Four calls later,
Iranian foreign minister.
The Iranian foreign minister. He had a relationship with him, and it was settled diplomatically. They were freed, and there was no war.
Yeah, and our Navy had to apologize to the Iranians and say how wonderfully they were treated. And by the way, just right now, just so you know, yesterday, Iranian ships swarmed U.S. Coast Guard vessels in the Persian Gulf, Wes.
Yeah, and they've done this a lot over the years. What is interesting about this, and U.S. officials say they're sort of mystified by this. I'm not mystified. They said that when Donald Trump was president, they did this initially, but from 2018 on until April the 2nd of this year, the Iranian Navy and the Guard Corps Navy had not harassed any American ships until just this month. And I can tell them the reason for that, because they knew the reaction of the Trump administration would be strong and swift. Now that we have a new president, Joe Biden's office, and John Kerry is one of his closest, you know, friends and diplomats, Iran is up to their old behaviors again of harassing the United States Navy because they know they can do this and get away with it.
They're doing this harassment, Jordan, while they're trying to get back to the table on the JCPOA.
Well, it worked with the Biden, the Obama administration. So act tougher, act more extreme. You better get those sanctions gone. And then what the diplomats like Zarif say, I can't, and like he said in this leaked phone call, I have no control over the military there. They always outrank me. So, you know, if you're going to continue to sanction us, they're going to continue to harass you. Except for when we had the most intense sanctions on Iran in history under the Trump administration. Was there any harassment of U.S. Navy vessels or Coast Guard vessels in the Persian Gulf? I don't think so. I don't remember any reports of any serious conflicts or anything worth even putting in the news.
So, Than, let me ask you this. So, this is, we've got like day two reaction here from the Senate. I'm sure the House, when they come back, will react. What do you expect to happen? I mean, obviously, we're in federal court on this issue. So the American Center for Law and Justice has already taken direct action here. But what do you expect in the Senate?
I think it's going to grow, Jay. I really do. I mean, this is a pretty breathtaking response for a 24-hour response time. And listen, here's why I think it's so significant. Because even if you take John Kerry at his word on every word, which I think is probably a leap, Jay, but let's just stipulate everything that John Kerry says. Let's say that what Zarif is saying is a complete lie. Jay, if that is true, then why is that the guy that you have banked your entire foreign policy on the region on him being trustworthy? That guy who just threw you under the bus and made these breathtaking allegations, he's the guy who you're going to trust to build a relationship in the region. That alone, Jay, even if John Kerry's telling the truth, means he shouldn't be engaging in foreign diplomacy for the United States.
100% correct. I mean, it's going to be interesting here to see how it folds out. But like we're in federal court. But coming up in the next segment, and this is why, folks, if you're on social media right now watching the broadcast, share this with your friends. We're going to be joined by our senior counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who I'm sure have unbelievable insight on this, as you can imagine. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And also, don't forget, all of this work, whether it's this broadcast 5 days a week in your radio, in your car, in your home, on TV, on social media platforms, whether it's the lawsuits filed in federal court, whether it's Stan's team in Washington dealing with issues surrounding government affairs or our global work. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We are in the last, 3 days, I guess, of our matching challenge campaign. Jordan, we need some help here. Response has been good. We've got a stretch goal we're trying to reach.
That's right. You doubly impact your donation. This is a great time to support our work, folks, because we've got a group of donors that are ready to match dollar for dollar every donation that comes into the ACLJ until the end of this week, until the end of April. Donate today, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. We'll be right back with Mike Pompeo.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are joined by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, ACLJ's Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. Mike, I want to go first question to you. You tweeted out this morning that Secretary Kerry, please explain to the American people why you disclosed info about Israeli operations to the Iranian foreign minister. We've known for years you were helping him. Americans deserve to know why. How damaging is this potentially to the United States, Mike?
Jordan, we knew this was going on. I've actually talked about this when I was a Secretary of State. We saw that Secretary Kerry was meeting with Foreign Minister Zarif. And, you know, frankly, the meeting's not the problem. If you're just talking about old times or family, that's fine. But clearly now we can see that our worst fears were true. Zarif said to someone he didn't think was going to publish it that he was talking to Secretary Kerry about Israeli operations in Syria. Secretary Kerry needs to explain why Zarif said that. He, you know, Secretary Kerry denied it this morning, but Zarif was pretty clear. Second, Zarif acknowledged that he is not an important player in the Iranian hierarchy. He says, yeah, Qasem Soleimani was driving everything in overriding us. We are today, Jordan, sitting with that same group, sitting with the Iranian foreign ministry, trying to give away enormous amounts of U.S. taxpayer money, I am sure, and sanctions relief to people who aren't even decision makers in Iran. We shouldn't negotiate with people who actually can't influence the outcome of how the Iranian regime will behave.
Well, this is Jay. The idea here, Mr. Secretary, is that Zarif tries to downplay his role to deflect the situation. But let's the practical situation is this. Something nefarious has happened here. We have an ally. It's called Israel. They were engaged in, or at least it reported that they were engaged in certain military action. That military action was shared with, according to these reports, a non-ally, the Iranians, who are certainly not an ally. They're an enemy. They are the largest state sponsor of terror. They use proxies all over the Middle East, frankly, all over the world. And the damage this causes, I think, is incalculable.
Jim, imagine today you're trying to make a decision if you're the Israeli government. I don't know the answer. I'm speculating. Imagine you're the Israeli government trying to decide whether you're going to share information with the United States Department of State today. Important information, information that would relate to the partnership in securing American freedom that Israel and America work on together each and every day. You've got to be concerned that somehow there are senior leaders, and it's not just Secretary Kerry. Remember the former Secretary of Energy, Ernest Moniz, was meeting with these same folks too. It'd be interesting to see what he said about those conversations. There are so many things to chase down. I know the ACLJ is hard at work on it, but we need to get answers to these questions. The American people deserve it. And more importantly, as we are continuing to this very moment to be in Vienna, Austria, meeting with these people, we need to understand what those relationships were and why during the Trump administration they were talking about things that had nothing to do with American foreign policy and what the Trump administration was trying to achieve there.
How frustrating was that to you as Secretary of State, knowing that John Kerry and others, like you, the former Secretary of Energy, these people were still engaging the Iranians?
You know, I'm not easily frustrated, Jay,
yep.
but make no mistake about it. We knew it was going on. We tried to convince them that it wasn't appropriate for them to do, and then we just continued to deliver. We had a policy
right.
President Trump put in place. We worked on our maximum pressure campaign. We built out the Abraham Accords. We worked with our friends in Israel, the great partners in the rightful Jewish homeland, to deliver security for them and, importantly, for the American people as well.
All right. You know, again, I think that what we also want to kind of focus in on, Mike, is that we have this kind of back and forth. Is it happening while he's Secretary of State? Is it happening while he's outside of the government? Is it happening under the Trump administration? I mean, I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, is it worse either way, you know, one of those ways, if it was happening while he was Secretary of State or if it was happening as a private citizen? To me, I mean, I think it's bad either way. But it is a kind of a question of, was the Obama administration potentially greenlighting the kind of sharing of this information?
Well, they were clearly, Jordan, for the entire 4 years that they were not in office. And by the way, it's the same cast of characters today. Yep. Wendy Sherman, Jake Sullivan, Robert O'Malley, the same people who brought you this crazy JCPOA, the crazy Iranian nuclear deal, the same people back in office today. It was very clear that during the 4 years, the messaging to the Iranians was be patient, will win again, and we'll get back into this deal, and we will give you this pathway to a nuclear weapon, just as we did before. There's no doubt that was the message that was being delivered to Iranian leadership, and in fact, the message that's being delivered to them across the table in Vienna today.
Mike, Colonel Wes Smith, our senior military analyst, has a question for you relating to this whole issue as well. Wes?
Yeah, I'm just curious, Secretary Pompeo, you know, as you look at what's going on and are trying to reenter the JCPOA, we know it's flawed. We know it ultimately did not keep them from acquiring a nuclear weapon. We know they've cheated six ways from Sunday. And the real bottom line is Iran cannot be trusted. What do you think, if you could get in the minds of the Biden administration, what's the motivation here? Why are they pushing to reenter an agreement, apparently being willing to lift sanctions? And some of the sanctions aren't even about the nuclear deal. They're about human rights and other things. Why are they pushing so hard to get back into an agreement with a rogue nation that cannot be trusted? What's their motivation, do you think?
It is inexplainable. You know, sometimes you can see arguments on the other side and you just simply disagree on this one. It is incomprehensible to me. You know, one of their theories that they say publicly is that we're going to do this deal, and then in the subsequent days and weeks and months, we'll get it. They'll do more. But we got to go back to our old deal before they'll talk to us. It is unimaginable that Iran, after they get what they want from the JCPOA, is going to do something that they give up even more tomorrow. For what reason? There'll be no leverage. And your point's right. They're going to take off terror sanctions on terrorists. It's unexplainable. These are still terrorists. No one denies it. They're going to go lift those sanctions. I cannot explain why or what their motivation is. I hope somehow, someday, they'll explain that to all of us.
And Mike, yesterday, it's been reported that in the Persian Gulf, again, the Iranian ships swarmed U.S. Coast Guard. So this is why they're at the table in Vienna.
What message does that send to the negotiators? It says you can treat the American forces that are in harm's way. We remember when those sailors were captured and John Kerry essentially apologized to get them back. It seems like a long time ago, but this is history repeating itself.
Yep.
We were clear. President Trump had a message, deterrence. As you get close to our ships, you try and take one of our sailors, we will respond seriously. That's real deterrence. It's American power, and it's how you keep America. And importantly, our friends in Israel and our security partners in the region, the Arab states, it's how you make demonstrations to them that you will have their back, and they too can push back against Iran without fear.
Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a senior counsel at the ACLJ for Global Affairs. Thanks as always. We appreciate it and look forward to having you back on tomorrow from our studios. Let me say this again. We appreciate it. We've got an email out right now that addresses this very issue, and it's been sent to hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people. You need to be getting these emails. Sign up for those at aclj.org. Also, the email focuses on our lawsuit that the secretary just referenced to find out what was going on here, what is going on. We're going to get answers. That's where you come in. Support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign last couple of days. Jordan?
Yep, support our work, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. And you have until Friday at midnight, but you can donate today. That's why we have these experts like Mike Pompeo on the ACLJ team. Donate today, aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. And now, your host,
Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So John Kerry is now under tremendous pressure in Washington, D.C. Get calls from U.S. senators to resign. You have, again, Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska. He took to the Senate floor and said, "I rise today on the Senate floor to call for the resignation of John Kerry." Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, "This is something that deserves a Senate investigation. If it's proven to be accurate, John Kerry should consider resignation." Senator Cruz called it catastrophic and disqualifying recklessness. Rick Scott said Biden should revoke Kerry's access to classified info while the matter is looked into. I mean, the list goes on and on. Yeah. Congresswoman Stefanik said, "This is a criminal act, and John Kerry must be immediately investigated and prosecuted. That President Biden must remove John Kerry from any government or advisory position." It's clear to point out here, as climate czar, it actually falls under the National Security Council. Right. So he's getting the highest level of security info and classified information,
the top,
from the U.S. government.
By the way, a lot of people are commenting because we had a glitch yesterday. We have had a glitch today on Facebook. It was nothing Facebook did. It's on our end. So we're going to rectify that situation so that hopefully that won't happen again. But, again, if you share it with your friends, we'll get more people back on that. Sorry about that feed issue. Look, I think the fact of the matter is this, and I'm going to go to Than on this, that you've already got these members. Jordan just went through the list saying this is troubling, to say the least. We got a great call coming in, which we probably should take if not now, in the next segment. But there's real repercussions on this, Than, politically.
There has to be, Jay. I mean, look, typically senators are hesitant to make a call for resignation. And one of the simple reasons is the fact that these are positions that they will likely hold one day. So they know whatever standard they put forward, they're going to be held to. But look, the quote that Jordan read from Senator Scott from Florida, to me, Jay, that part is a no-brainer. I mean, is this a guy that at this moment, until this investigation is complete, you can trust with classified information, when it sure looks like the very person he had a relationship with, that person is at least accusing him of leaking the information against an ally? Jay, at the bare minimum, we're at a moment where he shouldn't have access to classified information. And I would tell you, over the next couple of days, I expect those calls will escalate, and I expect the calls for his resignation will grow as well.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't see it's going to take a lot of pressure for the Biden administration to do anything here.
Yes, Jordan. Yes. They're
going to circle the wagons.
They are not going to, because remember, taking down John Kerry would be taking down themselves.
Yes.
These are all his aides that are now moved up. These are the people that were negotiating
his
the deal
with
him. His
team is now running the White House.
Yes. I mean, it's all former
Obama.
Former Obama State Department. They've been moved from the B team to the A team.
Exactly. So the risk is pretty high. Let's go ahead and take Julie's call out of California.
Hey, Julie, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan and Jay. I have concern. What are countries like Israel going to do? Are they going to start limit sharing of intelligence to the United States, knowing full well that it's just going to get over to Iran? And also, very importantly, it dawned on me that Biden and company are very close to China. So, and Iran wants to work with China.
Iran is working with China, so that's happening already. And with regard to sharing of intelligence, I have not talked to our team in Israel, but I can't imagine that this is not a situation where they are very concerned that this information has been released.
Well, yeah, and not only that, you look back to the 8 years of the Obama administration, they had a really, really tense, not good relationship with Israel because of the attitude of the administration. And so you look at that 8-year history, and now the vice president then is now the president. Why would Israel want to trust really sensitive information to this administration if they know they're going to be betrayed?
You know, I also think that there's this issue, too, where if it's they're trying to say, we'll talk about this when we get back. Well, this info eventually was out in the press anyways. But, you know, it's almost like John Kerry felt like he was sharing something, and Zarif from Iran thought he was hearing something new. So for him, this was new information that he was in the dark about. And, you know, it's one thing to say it's in the news. It's another thing to hear it from a top U.S. official confirming what's in the news. Even if that kind of spin on this is true, think about that. You're getting confirmation on reports. That's the highest level of confirmation you can get, is from someone like Kerry. We'll be right back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. I want to get to those calls. People that hold on. Israel in Connecticut on line 3. Hey, Israel, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate you guys, you fellas, for bringing out the truth to the American people. I do have a mid-statement and a question, please. And here it goes. Wouldn't the bombings kind of put John Kerry in the position he was holding at the time, the date of the bombings? And number two, I know it's a federal criminal and offense he's doing, but I'm not so concerned about Kerry, more about how do we sort out those that were helping him?
Well, so this is what we're trying to determine. There was news report in 2018 about Israeli actions in Syria, but that's not clear from this leaked information that was about specifically that report. And by the way, that report, let's say Zarif had read that. It would have been one thing to read a report. It's a whole other thing to get it from a former Secretary of State or current Secretary of State that the report is true, that Israel did in fact do this, that there's not just someone alleging it, as someone on the ground, you know, sourcing, but that it's actually true. But then second, that's assuming that's what we're talking about here too. And I think that it's just very important to point out, because listen to Ned Price. This is the State Department press briefing yesterday trying to spin this. Bite three.
Can't speak to the authenticity, can't speak to the accuracy of it, can't speak to any motives that may be behind its dissemination. I would just make the broad point that if you go back and look at press reporting from the time, this certainly was not secret.
Well, I mean, Zarif says he had no idea about it.
Yeah, so obviously it was secret.
At a minimum, no one was confirming it. But then a U.S. top U.S. official just confirmed it to a top U.S. enemy.
That's what the problem
they
with this is.
Theory.
The problem, Wes, with this is John Kerry never treated Iran as to what they actually are. And what they are is the largest state sponsor of terror in the world. They use proxies throughout the Middle East, throughout the United States. They've used terror cell groups. They've been able to cross the Sunni Shia divide by having Hamas and Hezbollah at the same time. They are the largest state sponsor of terror in the world, and they're not our ally. But John Kerry seemed to have always treated Zarif as if he was our ally.
he acts like Iran is our friend, and apparently Zarif is his friend. And concerning this whole nuclear deal that they're trying to go back into, we alluded to it a little bit with Secretary Pompeo. These sanctions, there's about 1,500 of them. Only a portion of them are about the nuclear weapons research and development there. Many of them are about human rights and about exporting terrorism that you just mentioned.
Yep.
And yet the Biden administration is willing to negotiate on lifting apparently all of these sanctions in order to enter the JCPOA again. What has happened, I think, is this is an example when the deal becomes more important than what's in it. In other words, the idea of reaching an agreement with an adversary becomes so important, often for political reasons, that the details of what's in the agreement don't matter as much. And then you cannot convince me that John Kerry is still not involved in all this going on in Vienna. He is more than a climate czar. He's on the National Security Council. He has the ear of President Biden. They worked on the JCPOA together last time.
Right.
I guarantee you he's involved again, and it is a real danger.
There is more members of Congress speaking out. We just got this. Kevin McCarthy, who, of course, is the minority leader in the House, has, and then I want your comment on this, but let's go ahead and play his statement just moments ago.
These are very serious allegations. And knowing the position that he holds in government, the position that he did hold, yes, it should be investigated. Knowing if these are true, I think it should go beyond him just resigning.
So there's a, you know, an allegation that if these are true, this goes beyond resigning, Fan.
Yeah, investigated, looked into, resignation, go beyond that. Maybe he's talking about prosecution. Strong remarks, Jay, but I think Secretary Pompeo actually said it best here. I mean, even if this information was public, why in the world do you feel like it is your duty to keep Zarif up to speed? That's really the question. Even if it's public,
well, it wasn't public to Zarif. Zarif said he knew nothing about it.
Right,
so, right.
I got to get Zarif up to speed. That's my job as a U.S. diplomat.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's a the politics to this is though, Jordan. They will circle around him though. We said this earlier. They're going to protect him.
Yes, exactly. They are going to protect him because they're protecting themselves. I think, again, that this is all important. Let's go to Joe's call. I think this is important. Joe called in from Arkansas on line one. Hey, Joe.
Thank you. Let's look at it from the other perspective also. I'm no defender of John Kerry whatsoever, but what would be the benefit to the Iranians if Zarif was putting this out as misinformation that this is actually not true? How would it benefit the Iranians?
Well, I don't think that it doesn't make a lot of sense that they would put this out this way, and here's why. It would show that Zarif himself was pretty uninformed about military actions occurring in the Middle East. So because in these tapes he says, you know, he was actually kind of like surprised that he hadn't heard about this, that there was 200 actions or over 200 actions by Israel itself against Iranian interest inside Syria. So I don't think it serves Iran at all to have this audio out. I don't think it serves Iran to undermine John Kerry and make him an issue. And I don't think it serves Iran in their interest of getting these sanctions released and to again shed light on the dangerous relationship of when you start a relationship with a government like the Iranian government.
Yeah, and you also.
So I don't think this is Iran's doing. I think this is more of a move to try and derail the U.S.'s reentry by someone at a very high level. Could be an Israeli intelligence, for all we know, who said, you know what, we need to start derailing this move to try and the U.S. move to try and get back into this deal.
The other thing I was thinking about listening to Secretary Blinken and Ned Price talk about, well, this was out in the public domain anyway. One of the things that just occurred to me from my training when I had a security clearance and how to deal with classified information, one of the things they really hammer with us is that even if classified information gets released in an unauthorized way or becomes in the public domain, it does not change the classification. And you are still forbidden from sharing it, even if someone else leaks it. And so even if this was out in the public, John Kerry to talk about this to an adversary is still technically, I believe Kevin McCarthy is right, still illegal.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. So I go back to this point I made earlier, because I think it's really true. John Kerry did not view the Iranians as the enemy. No. I've harped on that earlier in this segment, but I'm going to say it again. He does not view the Iranians as the enemy. And I don't think the Biden administration reviews or views the Iranians as the enemy. The fact is, they are the enemy. They're the greatest destabilizers in the region in the Middle East. They are the world's largest sponsor of state terrorism. They are dangerous. They are in cahoots now with China and Russia, and you've got that whole nexus going on. They are the proxies for the war going on in Syria. We wrote a whole book about this. I mean, not that many years ago, called Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. And it's, people say, oh, that's an overstatement. No, no, no. It's the only overstatement is China should have been in that one too. But at the time, we were getting along with China. Things seemed to be okay. But that's what you've got to deal with. And then while they're negotiating the JCPOA reentry, what do they do again, the Iranians? They bring warships around our Coast Guard vessels in the Persian Gulf and international waterways, which is a violation of international laws. And they do that intentionally. They do it because they think this is going to show them being tough, Jordan, that they are being strong and that they have power.
Yeah, that's right. And so again, I
test the United States.
Right. It's all a test move by the United. It's always a test. So I think this comes, this throws a wrench into what was going on. They know that the U.S., this current government, isn't going to take serious action about the vessels, you know, about what happened with the Coast Guard vessels. They didn't take serious action when they kidnapped U.S. troops off vessels. And we didn't allow our troops to fire on those Iranians. We have, since the embassy was taken in 1979, we've taken covert action, things like that. But we've never really flexed our serious physical muscles until Soleimani was taken out publicly. It wasn't something we said, oh, maybe it was us, maybe it wasn't us. No, no. We said, yeah, we did that, Iran. We killed your top guy, and we're proud of it. And we'll keep killing your top guys. That was the Trump administration. Now we're back to the Biden administration. And they roll over because they'll make the same excuse that Zarif will make, which is that there's some bad guys inside Iran. There's these guys, you know, the Revolutionary Guard, but there's also the Zarifs of the world. And even though they have no power, and even though on phone he says he has no influence and is kept in the dark on everything, he is a pawn. He is a guy with, you know, his no tie, button, top collar, pawn at the UN to work with people like John Kerry to get info, to share with the guys who actually do run Iran, which are the guys with guns.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
last segment. We're taking your calls. Last segment, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones. We also have questions coming in by Facebook and YouTube, so get those in. We'll try to get some of those up as well. Richard's calling. He's online, too. Hey, Richard.
God's blessings to the ACLJ. Thanks. I just want to say that's one of the problems that we have in Genesis 12:3. It talks about God saying, I will bless those that bless you. My personal feelings is that's what's happening to this country. My question is, the Biden administration must think we're all stupid and have no memories about how Obama treated Israel. I think this is just a carryover. But my question is, as Americans, we majority of us vehemently condemn anti-Semitism.
Yep.
And I would just like to know why we're supporting countries that want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
It's a great question. And the answer is that because for political expedience, that's why. So there are people also that have a very dim view of Israel. I view that also as anti-Semitic. But we have a whole unit at the ACLJ that deals with anti-Semitism. We've had cases on college campuses representing students, professors. I got an email this morning from one of our key folks on another one that's developing right now. There is, it looks like at the UN, Skip Ash, our senior counsel that handles a lot of our international law matters, and our office in Jerusalem are looking at this. There looks like the UN may be bringing up the Zionism is equates to racism issue again. We'll be on top of that if they do. So that's all going on simultaneously. Look, I mean, this is the most, and Than can address this, the most direct attacks aimed at any country in the entire UN is Israel.
More censures introduced against Israel than all of the other countries of the world by a magnitude of usually about 10 times per year, Jay. It happens consistently. And look, this is one of the things that is so frustrating to me and so frustrating to us at the ACLJ. It's not like Iran goes and hides who they are at these international bodies. This is who they are. They're proud about it. And the United States traditionally has been one of the lone voices at the United Nations standing up against it. Not so under the Obama administration. Not so far under the Biden administration. And Jay, I don't know if you want to get to this today, but yesterday, actually, the United Nations appointed none other than Iran to the UN Commission on Human Rights. So Iran now has a special seat at the table at the United Nations to determine what women's rights should be around the world. I imagine if you're a woman around the world, you're feeling safer today because of that.
You know, look, I mean, far be it for me to ever understand what these UN agencies are trying to accomplish. I mean, you also have other countries on there. I mean, there's a lot of countries on the commission. But Iran, Pakistan, I think China's on as well. The United States is on.
Yeah, I mean, you put on countries that with systematic abuse, systematic. I mean, they are so far behind. They're in like the dark ages. And yet they're put on the committee. So, again, what is the UN doing? It's what Rick always talks about. Tries to build consensus. Consensus means what's the status of women? Not very good in most parts of the world.
Yeah, it's really crazy. As you said earlier, Jay, this is in the category of you can't make this stuff up. Iran being put on the Commission on the Status of Women, which is about gender equality and empowering women. Iran has some of the strictest laws in the world against women, including you cannot travel outside the country or get a passport if you're married unless your husband approves. You can't go in public uncovered. You can go to jail in Iran if you go out without your covering on as a woman. And then their laws on domestic violence and rape are incredibly weak. And yet this country is on the United Nations Commission on the Status and Role of Women.
Well, I think what Jordan said is the thing that should be underlined here. You know, the status of women around the globe with these countries is awful. That's what. Awful. And, you know, there are some shining lights in the United States being one of them. But a lot of these countries on there, I mean, you know, look, Israel's on there. That's they're very good on equal rights for women. But Cuba's on this commission. So that's what you said is right. The status around the globe is not great. It's horrible. But what Rick Grinnell said, our senior advisor, is also true. And that is, it's a bunch of consensus nonsense.
Yeah.
But you got to be there, folks. You can't just ignore it because then they pass stuff.
Yeah, they do. Let's take another call. Robin in Georgia on line 3. Hey, Robin.
Hi, good afternoon. So I totally agree with Secretary Pompeo We've known about this for many, many years. This is nothing new. I don't know why everybody's surprised, and I'm sure you can hear the anger in my voice, if you will. Jay, they've been dancing around it forever. You're absolutely right. John Kerry is an enemy of the state. He needs to be held accountable immediately. This goes back to the Obama days. You know, we're tired of it.
Yeah, well, the problem with John Kerry is he doesn't view the adversary as the adversary. I mean, when you get to the bottom line on it, John Kerry does not view Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, as an adversary. Israel is an ally. The Gulf region states are now allies under the Abraham Accords. But he just refuses to concede that Iran is the enemy. Iran is the enemy. A real enemy with a real threat and a real potential to cause harm. But John Kerry, and why are we talking about John Kerry? John Kerry is supposed to be the climate czar, but he is more than that. Because all this is retread Obama administration, and Jordan, as you said earlier, taking him from the State Department, and now they get to run the White House.
Right, they're in the National Security Council. That's at the White House. It's top-level classified information. It means you are briefing the president. You are putting together the information for the president. You are the final line before it gets to the president of intelligence. And when you have access like that and you're traveling around the world, you're speaking to world leaders, John Kerry gives the imprimatur that he is speaking on behalf of President Biden. He is not just a State Department official either. He is literally he's speaking in place of the President of the United States.
So Jackie on YouTube asks this, with a split Senate, do the Republicans have the power to hold hearings on this without Democratic approval?
I think because the way those committees are set up, they could have hearings. I think that they have to really drill down here and get to exactly what they want to know. And of course, John Kerry can be hauled before those hearings easily now because he's a government official.
Yeah, it's very possible, Jordan. All of those committees have split membership, and so you are going to have a possibility for minority hearings. Jordan, I actually think there's a possibility on this one that you might actually get a couple of Democrats to say, look, I at least want to hear what John Kerry has to say about this. I think there probably will be hearings at some point, Jordan.
Do you think people like Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema are the likely ones?
Yeah, certainly they're the most likely, but Jay, even when you get onto like the Intelligence Committee or Foreign Affairs, you're going to have some committee members who want straight answers, and if they've been told one thing by John Kerry and now they see this information, I think that list might be a little bit broader on this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's one of those issues where this is just the tip of the iceberg. What is good about this is that it survived a 24-hour news cycle. So it survived yesterday. It wasn't just shock story, New York Times has leaked audio. Everybody talks about it for a day and then moves on. The pressure is actually building on John Kerry, and I think it's why it's important. As we had Rick on yesterday, we had Mike Pompeo on today. We have both of them on tomorrow.
And we've got a lawsuit on top of it.
That's right. So support the work of the ACLJ. Be part of our matching challenge. That ends at the end of this week. So you have until Friday at midnight. To donate and double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We've got that group of donors ready to match your donation dollar for dollar until the end of April. So donate today at ACLJ.org, and we will talk to you tomorrow on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.